The grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed in Christ, Merry Christmas and joy to the world. Our Lord has come. Amen. And what an arrival it was. The Word of God, who in the beginning was with God and who was God and through whom everything was created, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Think of it. A God Almighty, the everlasting God, who has existed for all eternity as the ever-present I Am. A God Almighty, the God who has no beginning and no end. God Almighty, the Omnipotent, that is, the all-powerful Creator who also knows all things and who also is everywhere all the time. A God Almighty, who knows the end from the beginning. This mighty and eternal God who is self-sustaining, that is, who has life within himself and is himself the source of all life. This mighty God who Isaiah describes as awesome in appearance and thunderous in voice when he speaks, so much so that when he speaks, the foundations of the earth shudder. This mighty and awesome God who is seated on a throne and is high and lifted up and exalted above every name, this mighty and glorious God from even before the time when he created the world and from even before the time when he formed you in your mother's womb, he knew you and he loved you. And because he loves you, he determined by the counsel of his own will to rescue you from the power of the devil and from the power of this corrupt world and from the power of your own sin and sinful nature. But his course of action was beyond anything that anyone could ever dare to imagine. For because of the vanities of our sinful imaginations, we imagine that God is transcendent, that is, beyond our reach. And in a sense, he is. It, in fact, is impossible for us in and of ourselves to reach God. Our sin has cut us off from him. And there is nothing that we can do to remedy the situation. And nonetheless, in the vanities of our imaginations, we imagine that if we just work hard enough, if we just worship loud enough, if we pray with enough fervency, or if we actively engage in whatever spiritual pursuit that tickles our fancy with enough serious devotion, we imagine that we can reach God. Or we imagine that we can, at the very least, get his attention so that he might look upon us favorably and recognize us as ones who are better than other people and thus worthy of his praise and acceptance. But alas, we delude ourselves, for it is true that we cannot reach God. And we cannot get his attention, at least in a good way. For truly all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. Truth be told, we are no more capable of reaching God than is a tree branch, which after having been cut off from the tree, is capable of grafting itself back into the tree. No, my friends, that tree branch can pray all it wants to. That can be as spiritual as it wants to. It can worship as hard and as earnestly as it wants to, but truth be told, unless the gardener picks it up off the ground and grafts it back into the tree, that branch will die. In similar fashion, just as we who have been cut off from God, our source of life because of sin, unless God himself does the doing and grafts us back into himself, unless he does this, we will all die eternally. That is, not only will we all die in this life, but we will all suffer eternal death, which the Bible in English calls hell, a place of eternal fire. Given that this is the predicament that we find ourselves in, the only hope then of reaching God rests in the fact that he himself will remedy the situation for us. For truly, he himself and he alone can do the doing for us. the truth be told, our only hope of salvation does not reside in or with us, but rather it resides in Him and Him alone, so much so that if He Himself does not save us, we are lost. Despite the vanities of our imaginations, the fact of the matter is this: we cannot reach God. If we are to be saved from eternal death, He Himself must reach down to us. We cannot ascend, that is, we cannot go up to where He is. He Himself must come down to us. But friends, do not despair, for the joy of Christmas Day rests in the fact that because of Jesus, Emmanuel, which means God with us, because of Jesus, who was born this Christmas Day 2,000 years ago to the Virgin Mary and her betrothed husband Joseph, because of Jesus, who is the Word of God, because of Jesus, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. God Himself has come down to earth to reach us, to rescue us, to save us. Because of Jesus, we are not without hope. This is why we sing joy to the world at Christmas time, and because the word became flesh and dwelt among us. We know beyond a shadow of a doubt because of this that God is for us and not against us. And since man's first sin in the Garden of Eden, which has afflicted us all, since the very beginning, it has been God's will to remedy, that is, to fix the problem of sin, death, and damnation. As Adam and Eve's benevolent creator, He Himself chose to take the punishment of their sin and for our sins and for the sins of the whole world for all time upon Himself, so that we might be forgiven and declared righteous for the sake of His works done on our behalf. From the very beginning, way back in Genesis 3:15, God promised to send a Savior who would be born of a woman whose birth would be miraculous, and that this Savior would crush Satan's head, thereby setting the world free from the horrible tyranny of our great enemy. For thousands of years, those who trusted in God and believed His promise to send a Savior, for thousands of years, they waited. And then one day, when the fullness of time had come, He arrived. And in typical godlike fashion, He arrived in a way that no one could have ever expected. He came in the form of a poor little baby, vulnerable and helpless, dependent fully upon His loving parents for His very existence. What kind of God is this who comes to us in this way on Christmas morning? It is the God who, because He loves you, He became flesh and dwelt among us, not as a mighty king. Although He is a mighty king, He did not act like one. No, He came to us not to be served, but rather to serve us. What kind of king is this who serves and refuses to be served? And certainly, He is not like any king according to the order or kingdoms or governments of this world. Truly, His kingdom is unlike anything this world has ever seen. In frailty and weakness and humbleness, He came to us. By coming to us in this way, God shows us that He loves us so much that He is more than happy to empty Himself of everything and come down to our level to save us. This is good news indeed. He descended to us from heaven to earth in this way 2,000 years ago, and He descends to you today, this Christmas day. And in every divine service, He comes down to you bodily in the Lord's Supper. And in so doing, He still serves you even today by forgiving you all your sins. And moreover, He will come down again bodily from heaven to earth in a glorious way, whereby every eye will see Him and every tongue will confess that He is Lord. This will happen on that great and last day, which is soon to come. On that day, He will descend so that you may ascend. That is, He will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and all the dead in Christ will be raised to everlasting life. And any of us who remain and are alive, we will be caught up together with them in the air, and we will forever be with our Lord. Amen, amen, yes, yes, it shall be so. It's strange, is it not? How is it that our God is both at the same time the highest, most glorious, awesome, fearsome, and unapproachable being in existence, and also the lowest, most humble, common, friendly, forgiving, and relatable being in existence? Truly, if God himself did not come to us in the humble flesh of the lowly babe in a manger, we would have never truly known him. We would have lived believing that he hated us and was forever disappointed and/or angry with us. But Jesus has shown us that such is not the case. Praise the Lord. Because of Jesus, we know that God our Father loves us so much that he gave. That is, he sacrificed his only begotten Son on the cross as a payment for all our sins, so that whoever believes in him, they might not perish but have everlasting life. To know Jesus is to know God. To know Jesus is to know that God loves you and does not hate you. To know Jesus is to know that God is for you and not against you. To know Jesus is to know that the Son of God, the second person of the Holy Godhead, because he, together with the Father and the Holy Spirit, because he loves you, he set aside all his glory and honor and riches and power, and he came down to you from heaven to earth and was incarnate. That is, he became flesh by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man. He is the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds. God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made. It's hard to imagine, but in God's heavenly kingdom, those who are highest are the lowest. And this dynamic starts with God himself. He is the highest because he counted himself as the lowest. He came not to be served, but to serve. Apart from Jesus, God seems like a tyrant. He is one who is to be feared. Now, don't get me wrong, God is worthy to be feared. The Bible tells us that anyone who fears God is wise. But if that's all we knew of God, that he is fearsome, truly there would be some, perhaps many, who would bow to his lordship for no other reason than for self-preservation. How does the saying go regarding those who are forced to serve a ruler they either fear or hate? You can shackle my hands, but you cannot shackle my heart. In other words, on the outside, I'm doing all that you command me to do with a smile on my face. Nonetheless, inwardly, I'm looking for an opportunity for vengeance. The God seen apart from Jesus is that God, the tyrant God. God's law apart from his gospel casts a dark shadow on God that doesn't allow us to see him rightly. But the gospel, that is the good news that God loves you and gave himself, his own son for you, so that you might be saved. This gospel over and against God's law changes everything. In it, the paradoxical duality of God is revealed. In God's law, in God's gospel, we come to realize that God himself, in being a perfectly free Lord of all, subject to none, he used his supreme freedom to willingly make himself a perfectly dutiful servant of all, subject to all. It's hard to imagine, but in heaven, in that place, everyone esteems everyone else better than him or herself. It's hard to imagine, but heaven is that place where everyone seeks not his or her own well-being, but the well-being of others. Jesus, as our Savior, came down from heaven to earth, not seeking his own well-being, but your well-being. Having been wrapped in grave clothes, that is, swaddling cloths, and being placed in a manger, he silently proclaimed to the world he created, "I came to die so that you might live." Amen. Merry Christmas. You are forgiven. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus, even to life everlasting. Amen.